CF United, a premier Cold Fusion conference by TerraTech Programming. Created by developers for developers.
Thanks so much for coming out today. I am here to talk about the Flex 2.0 event model. My name is Tom Link, and I'm the CTO of Universal Mind. So a little bit about me. I lead Universal Mind's Flex consulting practice, and prior to doing that, I spent about 5 years working with Macromedia and Adobe before that, working in their professional services group, mostly in Cold Fusion and then in Flex. So I'm sort of a Cold Fusion user at heart, a lot of experience working with Cold Fusion customers. So when I came to Flex, I came to it kind of from a Cold Fusion user's perspective, and a lot of the consulting we do, we're working with Cold Fusion users. And so when we came to kind of put this track together for Flex this year at CF United, we really took an approach of, you know, looking at Cold Fusion users and what they've been doing before, and seeing how we can help kind of bring Flex to them from a Cold Fusion perspective. So the main goal is really to teach you about events. And why are we teaching you about events? Well, one of the things we've seen is that Flex relies heavily, especially in Flex 2.0, on an event model. And this is really something that users who are just using Cold Fusion may not have a lot of experience with. So folks coming to Flex from Java or .NET have a little more experience with event models, but this is something a little bit new to Cold Fusion users. So we're going to talk about why we use events in Flex and maybe why we haven't looked at them before in Cold Fusion. We're going to look at how events work in the existing Flex components. So in a label component, in a button control, how the components work how events work in the components we already use. Then we're going to look at the event object. And finally, once we understand the event object, we're going to look at using events in our own custom Flex controls and components, so that basically we're really using the same model that the Flex controls use themselves, so that we can better architect applications. So first, why events? So events are a way for us to kind of hook into our application, a way for an application to tell us, the developer, that something's gone on so that we can do something about it. Okay, so for example, the user clicked a mouse. I want to know so that I can do something when the user clicked a mouse. I want to know when data got returned from Cold Fusion, so there's an event to tell me that. Right? I want to know when a user added an item to their cart. Anything that happens in the application, we use events as a way to tell us that they happened. So, where are the events in Cold Fusion? Well, in a traditional HTML application, you could sort of almost think of every page request as equating to an event, right? Because what happens, I'm clicking on a hyperlink of some sort, and I'm getting back a page. And that's really kind of about it as far as how events might work in the Cold Fusion model. So why then are events more important in Flex or in generally in a rich internet application? The reason is because a whole lot more logic lives on the client, right? We're not just basically making requests and getting back new pages from the server. There's a whole lot more interaction that's going on purely on the client. Also, it's an asynchronous environment, so when I make a request for data, I might be doing a whole bunch of other things, and at some point later in time, I get the data back. It's not like the next line of code, I have my data back from, you know, from wherever I sent it from. So because we have a richer environment on the client with a lot more going on that's not just, you know, making a request and getting back a page, we need a richer communication model, and events gives us that. So as a quick aside, CF really has kind of more constructs, especially as I started thinking about it, more constructs of events than maybe it did a couple years ago. One is that recent versions of Cold Fusion included the application CFC, and that has the events really that let us know or give us hooks into knowing that, you know, a new session has started, a session has ended, et cetera. And we also obviously have event gateways too to be able to tell us things like, I've received an SMS. So right, same concept as I need a hook to tell me when an SMS came into a Cold Fusion application, and so event gateways give us these hooks, and so obviously they're aptly named event gateways. Okay, part two. So let's look at how events get used in existing Flex components, and hopefully most of you have played with applications a bit, and so this will look pretty familiar to you, but I think that we can, I think reviewing this helps us understand why we're using this in our own applications as well. So first, let's just get familiar on some terminology. Okay, it says here, developers use event handlers to handle events that are dispatched by components. So we'll want to make sure we kind of understand each one of those terms as we go through. Event handlers, that we handle events using event handlers, and that events get fired or dispatched to us by a component. Okay, so part one, using events. Well, using an event is a two-step process. Okay, first we write a function, what we might call an event handler, to respond to an event. Okay, and the second, we register that function as the recipient of a particular event. Sounds complicated, it's real easy, and we'll look at some code. So step one, write a function, event handler, to respond to an event. Here is an event handler that responds to an event. Okay, so you've probably all seen something like this before. A real simple case, we have a method or a function called onClick that gets called by something. All we're worried about is that it gets called when something happens. It passes this thing called an event object. We'll talk about that in a second. And then based on that event happening, we're popping up in an alert box. Okay. So step two, register that function as a recipient of a particular event. So we have a block of code that says do this when something happens. So now here's the when something happens. We have two ways to basically call that event handler. Okay. The first is that we can specify the name of the event that's going to get triggered, and then associate the method that we want to call when that happens. Okay, so in the case of a button component, we say click equals, and then what we want to happen. And whenever we're calling an event, we always get this implicit event object that we can pass on to the method. We'll be talking a lot more about that later. So that's one case. And then different syntax, or other option we have, is using the add event listener syntax. Okay, so instead of defining the click event in line or handling the click event in line, we can say my button, same ID here, dot add event listener, and then associate the mouse click event, in this case, with the button click. Okay, so let's look at two really simple examples of that. My demos are going to wow you. All right. Okay, so this is the same code in the sample. And so obviously when we run it, we click our button and we get a button clicked, right? Thank you. I'll be here all night. Okay, so the second one works exactly the same. I won't bother showing you that code. But here we're using add event listener and we get the same exact functionality, right? So why would we use add event listener? Well, in some cases, it's just a personal preference. For example, model view controller might say by using add event listener, we can separate the view from the controller because we're defining our visual button and then kind of elsewhere associating some kind of business logic with what happens when that button gets clicked. Okay. But additionally, add event listener gives us some more advanced control of event handling. So the two main things it allows us to do is allow additional controls for event propagation and event priority. So a little bit about event propagation. Who can listen for an event? So when I dispatch or fire an event, who can sign up to be made aware of that? Well, one is the dispatcher, the dispatching component. So if the button fires an event, the button can kind of be made aware that it fires an event, right? The other is any ancestor of that component. Okay. So in other words, if I have my application that has a view box, that has a title window, that has a button in it, each of those guys is allowed to listen for the event. And when an event's dispatched, Flex is a process to find listeners in their order. Okay, and that's called event propagation, and there's three phases to event propagation. Okay, the first phase is capturing, and basically the flow is that first the application gets dibs, or in this case, in my example, where we'd have an application that contained a VBox, that contained a tile window, that contained a button. In that example, in the capture phase, first the application gets dibs, then the VBox, then the title window, then the MX button. Then the second phase starts, called the targeting phase, and that's where the dispatcher itself gets a chance to respond to the event. And then finally, it bubbles back out in the opposite direction. Okay. Normally, by default, we don't use the capturing phase. Usually, it's the targeting and the bubbling is kind of what's enabled by default. Okay. Why is that useful to know? Because any listener can stop propagation. So as I start to write more advanced applications, I might want my application, for example, to listen for the event and then based on the event, stop the propagation, right? So say, hey, whoever was listening for that event, you're never going to know about it. I have controls like that. Or I can let it kind of flow on. Okay? We're not going to talk much about propagation in our demo, but I think that's just useful, a useful feature to be aware of kind of on the advanced side of Flex 2.0. And that's new to the Flex 2.0 event model. So next question is, how do we know what events the Flex controls have? Right? So I have a button, right? We already talked about the click event. How can I find out what other events get issued when and why and how, et cetera? Well, the Flex MXML API discusses all of those things. And so if you're familiar with the MXML API, there's a section called events, and I can see there all, you know, each of the events that's available for every UI control, and also what object it produces as its event object, what properties are available. So I've mentioned a little bit about the event object. Let's talk about that in more detail. So we showed in our code before that when we dispatch an event, when we set MX button click equals do my function, we passed an event object, right? So that object is created for us automatically, and it contains always at least two properties. The first is type, and that's the name of the event, like button click, right? And the other is target, and that's a reference to the component that dispatched the event. So if the ID of my button, or the, if the ID of my button component was my button, then the target would be a reference to that component. Okay, and the nice thing about getting a reference to the component is once I have a reference to the component, I can update properties in that component, I can call methods on that component, I can just know about that component so I know how to react to the event. It makes my event handlers much more reusable. Okay, so two properties are always going to exist, type and target, but then some events pass additional properties that are related to the specific event type. Okay, so some events are a little bit more sophisticated. For example, if it's a mouse event and it's a click event, I might want to know, well, what are the XY coordinates of where they clicked? So here's a demo that really just slightly builds on the first very sophisticated demo that we had. And that is, basically, we're now going to inspect the event object. So before we passed in the event object, right? We, in our code before, we had onClick with an event, but we didn't do anything with that event. Right? So now, in our next demo, we basically have an onClick event, and now in our alert box, we're not just going to show hello or whatever we showed before, we're actually going to inspect the event object or use the reference to the event object. So E is our event, so event.target.label is the label of whatever component dispatched that event. I don't think you need to see that example either. Okay, so what type is an event? In Flex 1.5, generally speaking, events were what we call generic objects. It was just a simple, plain old object. In Flex 2.0, one of the real improvements, but involved a little bit more coding for the developer, is that events basically are all of either the flash.event.events class, or they subclass the events class. Okay, so for example, I talked before about more sophisticated objects, or more sophisticated event objects. So for example, most events associated with the mouse, like a mouse click or something like that, are always going to, or usually going to dispatch the mouse event. If I'm using drag and drop, right, when I, the events that are associated with drag and drop, like someone released the mouse in this component, release the drag drop event, and the drag drop, release the drag drop object, event object, and that's going to give us specific information that's, you know, that pertains to drag and drop. Like what was the component it came from, what was the component it was going to, some metadata about the object that's in the proxy being passed forth, et cetera. Okay? So here's a subclassed event. In this case, it's a mouse event. And so what we're doing here is when we specify mouse event as the type of event that this handler is willing to accept, we can now reference the special properties that are available to mouse event. And again, how do we know the properties that are available to mouse event? Well, they're going to be in the MXML API. So important things to remember here. One is that mouse event subclasses event. And two is that because we're using a subclassed event object, we can specify the special properties for that. In this case, local X is a property of the mouse event class. So we've seen before how the UI components dispatch events for us, right? Like when I click on a button, obviously the point of a button is so that it can tell me that it's been clicked on and I have the event. What's interesting is that as a developer, I can dispatch that same event programmatically. So I can make the application essentially effectively think that someone clicked a button by using the dispatch event method. Okay, so here's some code, mybutton.dispatchEvent. And what it does is, it, because it's dispatching the event programmatically, or I as a developer am doing it myself based on something, What do I do? In this case, I have to create the mouse event, right? So here I pass the mouse event to the event handler. Okay. So why do I want to do this? Well, there's two reasons I would want to dispatch events. One is that if I want to kind of mimic something happening from one of the Flex controls, like I want to mimic a button being pressed or a new item being selected in a grid, and we'll talk about reasons you might want to do that in a little bit. But the main reason is because dispatching events is the way that we can have our components act just like the Flex components out of the box, where we want to tell the world that something has happened in our component's little world. Yes?
So what's the target of this particular statement up here?
Is my button. Right, because I've said my button dot dispatch event.
Got it.
Okay. There are numbers. No, well, the it's going to handle that, so we don't have to worry about that. It's going to be the X Y coordinate of the mouse wherever it was clicked. Oh, right. See, good point. So in that case, I don't know what it would be. I imagine it would be zero. Or could it be where the mouse was on the stage at the time? I don't know. Who wants to play with it and tell us by the end? So here's some code where we're sampling dispatch event. So basically, if I run this code, well, we'll look at the code here. It's a little easier to see. So what do we have here? We have our button, right, up on here on line 4, and it has the click handler that we've seen before that calls on button click. But also, on initialize, when the application initializes, we're calling a function called on initialize, and what are we doing? We're dispatching an event programmatically. So if I run this without clicking the button, we've got the same button clicked event. Okay, important to remember, not a real great use case here, but as we build sophisticated applications, sometimes we'll want to replicate the same exact logic that happens based on user interaction. We'll want to call that same functionality ourselves, and usually dispatching the same event is a more reusable way to approach that than just calling the same logic, you know, somewhere else.
If you call that button, and you had another button, would it actually show on the screen that it was clicked?
No. Right, so question was, would I actually see the button click, and I wouldn't. Okay, so now to the meat and potatoes. We're going to talk about using events in our own custom Flex components. So why do we use components? Right, same reasons we would in Cold Fusion. Right, we get improved reusability. Once we have a component, we can reuse that component elsewhere. We get easier maintenance. Right, we can black box our code a little bit better. And the constructs are relatively similar to Cold Fusion too. Right, so similar to custom tags or CFCs. So what we're going to do now is we're going to look at a monolithic app, basically an app that's pretty much entirely defined in a single component, and then we're going to look at a solution that breaks that component into a couple components, or breaks that application into a couple components. So first, let's look at what we got here. So my application is the classic master detail application, right? I have a list of pictures on my left, and as I select a different picture, I see a different information in the detail pane, right? So a couple things. First, we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about data access between Cold Fusion and Flex. There's a great session on that tomorrow that Mike Nimer's doing, and also Ben Forda talked about some of the wizards that we can use to create value objects to pass data from Cold Fusion to Flex, but basically we're using the Flash Remoting Gateway, and we're using value objects. So basically, I used in this case to create this example the simple CRUD wizard that is in the new Flex components that allows me to create a value object based on a database table. Okay, so let's have a look at our application. First, so the only outside component here is a value object called picture VO that basically is a representation of effectively a record in the database, right? So here are all my properties, first name, last name, label, wins, losses, etc. Okay, and the only other application or the only other file in this application is my main application. So let's take a quick look at this. Okay, so first we have a remote object. Okay, so basically just a call to Cold Fusion. Okay, and what we're doing here is saying, hey, when we get a result back, well, this is an event handler, right? When we get a result back, we have a local property that we're updating called pictures. And what we're doing is we're casting the result as an array collection, so we get back basically an array, or really an array collection of pictures. Okay, I have a simple style sheet. And then what else is in here? First of all, the onCreationComplete says that, hey, when as soon as the application gets created, make our call to get our list of pictures that returns an array of picture objects. Okay. So then we have two panels. Our application is basically two simple panels. One is called pictures, and the other is called picture detail. So the pictures presents a list of pictures. Its data provider is that variable that we assign the data to when it gets back. And then the second panel looks at the selected item from the first panel. Okay, so each of the labels in the second panel is pointed to one of the data points based on the selected item of the pictures list. Okay, so this application probably could be a simple one-page application or one-file application, right? Problem is, as it gets bigger, our application gets longer and longer and longer, and all of a sudden we have a 3,000-line application. So what we want to do is break this into an application with two components. Wouldn't it make sense to have the picture detail or the picture list as one component and the picture details as a second component? So how might we do that? Well, let's go back to Flex Builder here. And the first thing we'll do, who's created components so far in Flex? Okay, so this will look pretty familiar to a good bunch here. The first thing we want to do is create a namespace for the directory we're going to put our components in. So we'll say XML NS, and we'll give it a namespace of comp equals components.star. Sorry? Oh, thanks. Okay, so now that we have that, we can go back and create our components directory. So we'll, in our pictures project, we'll say new folder, we'll call it components. Okay, and we'll create a component in here. So new MXML component. Our component's going to extend the panel. We don't need a set height and width. And we'll call this picture selector.mxml. Okay. So now basically we have this. Let's get a little more room here. Okay. So now we have just basically an empty panel. And what we're going to do is we're going to take the guts of this panel here and just drop it into this component. So we don't need the panel here. And this title attribute of panel, we'll just put over here. Okay. So now, basically, again, we have a panel, a list, but it's in a separate component. But the data provider for this is what? Is pictures. So we need a way to pass this data in. So we define a public variable called pictures that's going to allow us to pass data in, because it's now a property of this component, and the type is array collection. And Flex Builder is real nice. It realizes I'm now using the array collection class, so it imports that for me automatically. Okay, so now what's real nice is I've told Flex Builder about this namespace called components. So now I can just say comp, which is my namespace, and it automatically says, oh, you must mean, here's the list of things available to me in comp, picture selector. That's really great, a huge improvement over Flex 1.5. Okay, what else is great? When I hit the space, I now have insight into here, so it knows that one of my properties is pictures. So I can just select that. And so what's going to be the value of pictures? Well, we're going to use a binding to pass in the local pictures that gets set when our function completes, right? This picture is right here. Okay. So let's comment out the second panel. And test our application. Okay, so that works. Now we've now moved it into a separate component and passed a property in. So now let's work on this second guy. So we'll say new component. This we're going to call pitcher detail. We're going to put it in the components directory. And it's also going to be of type, or it's going to extend panel. We also don't need a default height and width on that. And same process as before. I'm going to take this big panel here and just basically use that as the guts of this new component I'm creating. And I'm going to take these two properties and put them into the right parent here. I'll fix my margins. Okay. And so now what's wrong here? Well, this thing is used to referencing pitchers list.selectedItem, right? Well, we don't want it to do that. We want our component to only know somehow I'm going to get a reference to a pitcher, right? So let's define a property. Pitcher, singular, right? This component just knows that I'm going to get past a pitcher. I'm going to display information about it. So pitcher, and the pitcher is actually of type pitcher VO, that value object that we had created before. And notice, as soon as I mention that, it imports that for me automatically. Another, again, a great feature. Helps me develop code a lot faster in Flex Builder. So now I'm just going to change all my references from pitcher list.selectedItem, which before was a reference to a specific item in the list, to now just pitcher, which is whatever pitcher somehow gets passed into this component. Too many properties, huh? Okay, so there's my component now. So now, again, this component just knows about itself. So already things are a little bit more black boxed. Question? Then it's just null. And so when binding looks at something that says it's not there yet, it just kind of gracefully shows nothing in most cases. Okay, so now, just like before, we added that new component, so I can now say comp, and again, it's aware of what's in that directory, and so now I can say, okay, well now I want the pitcher detail, and we know we have a property called pitcher, or Flex Builder knows because we defined it properly, and so what is the value of the pitcher going to be? Well, what we want to do right now, based on what we know, is we know it's in that list component in the pitcher selector, right? So really, to be able to reference that component, we need to give it what? An ID, right. So we'll say ID equals pitcher selector, and now I can say a binding to pitcher selector dot, and again, Flex is smart enough to know there's something in here called pitcher list, or pitchers list, which is the component in there that has the item dot selected item. Okay.
Could not resolve pitcher detail. Who's that? Oh, come on. Who knows my problem? Related to this? Pitcher's list is the list that's inside of pitcher selector,
Right here, pitcher's list. No, but it's saying could not resolve comp pitcher detail. Sorry? Yep. Thank you. That's what I get for concatenating. That was actually a little bit of a confusing error, because that error didn't really put me on the right trail there. Okay, and now the compiler is saying implicit coercion of a value static object to pitcher type. Okay, blah blah blah. So what this is basically saying is, well, selected item. Well, really, pitcher detail is expecting what? An object of type pitcher VO, right? So what I have to tell this is basically explicitly cast it as pitcher VO. Okay? So now our component looks a little bit nicer, right? We just have our main application just has a definition of the components and kind of the wiring for the data that's going back and forth. And it still works. Okay? Okay. Yes? Flex 2, just like Flex 1, is really kind of a combination of two languages, which is MXML, which is an XML-based language, and ActionScript, which is an ECMA-based language. So that's similar to Flex 1.5. The difference is in Flex 2, it's a little bit more strictly typed. So you need to know, so the ECMAScript is a little bit more strictly typed than it was in 1.5, which is really a better thing, because the strict typing is really what's allowing Flex Builder to be as smart as it is by really guiding me through development by saying, oh, you referenced this type, well, here's your list of properties. Okay. So let's think about what we did. When we organized our application into components, like we just did in that little walkthrough, how did we pass data between our components? Well, we did kind of method one, which is we referenced the custom component and its children from one to the other. So we're still kind of wiring them together. So in my example here, we say my component dot my data grid dot selected index. Or in our application, what did we just do? We said, hey, one guy should be looking at pitcher selector dot list, whatever, dot the name of the list dot selected item. Okay. So what's wrong with this? Well, it's still while we made some improvements in the refactoring we just did, it's really still tightly coupled if you think about it, and still has some reusability issues. Right? What happens if later on I'm in charge of the pitcher selected detail and someone else is in charge of the pitcher selector. Someone else is in charge of the pitcher detail. Well, if I change that list component, if I change the name of it or I change the fact that instead of a list it's going to be a data grid or some other visual component, what happens? The application breaks, right? Because my main application is expecting that there's going to be a visual component in there with a certain name that has a certain property. And so that's still considered tightly coupled. So the goal of making something loosely coupled is to remove all those dependencies. So the solution to that is method two, which is using events. Okay, and it's the reason that the Flex application framework does the same exact thing. So when we use events, we're providing a loosely coupled solution. Okay. All the developer needs to know in this event model is that we use properties to pass data in and out, and events exist to notify the outside world that something has happened. Okay. Again, just like the button control says click to let us know that something happened, our own components can dispatch events to let us know that something happened. Okay. So really, in the end, what we're gaining is a cleaner API. Our API is kind of our contract between the component and the outside world, and the API shouldn't have anything about the visual structure or anything like that. We should just agree that, hey, I have certain public properties that allow you to get data and set data, and also I pass events when I want to let you know that something's happened to that data or it's changed. Okay. So how do we use events for intercomponent communication? Well, it's really the same process that the Flex core components use, and we already know at least half of it. Okay? So the two steps are that we write an event handler to handle the event, and we already know how to do this. We already know how to say on an MX button, click equals do something. So we already know that half. And the first half is that we need to add code, or the second half is that we need to add code to our custom component to dispatch that event. Okay, and there's two things that are involved there. First is defining the event, and the second is dispatching the event. So let's look at step one. Again, this should look real familiar to you, and conceptually I find that people really make this a lot easier if they kind of understand this is what they already know. So just like MX button says click equals on button click, okay, we can really use the same structure. So our picture selector somehow is going to have an event called picture selected. Just like how the button component somehow has an event called click, our component is going to have an event called picture selected. And then we can specify code that we want to happen when picture selected gets called or picture selected gets dispatched. Okay. Now in Flex 2, whenever we define an event, especially or specifically if we want to pass custom data with our event, we need to also create an event class or an event class for our custom event that we're dispatching. Okay? And the benefit is this allows us to specify data that we want the event to pass. So think about it. If we want to tell the world that a new pitcher is selected, what else do we probably want to tell the world? Which pitcher got selected, right? So we want to attach data to our event, and that's the way of saying, okay, something happened, and here's what you need to know. And so the custom event class that we're creating is what's going to contain that data that we need to know. So the rule is that our custom event class basically needs to subclass or extend the flash.events.event class that we've already looked at before. Okay? So here is our pitcher selected event. Okay, so our pitcher selected event class. Okay? So basically, we're extending flash.events.event, and we're specifying that there's going to be one public variable, which is the pitcher value object, which contains all of the pitcher data for a pitcher. And then the constructor basically expects to be passed in a value object of type pitcher DO. And let's ignore the first line for a second. The second line just says, hey, set my public property to be whatever got passed in. So basically what we're doing is when we're calling an event, we're creating an instance of this class and attaching a pitcher to it. Okay? And the super pitcher selected, because we're extending the event class, what this says basically is all our events need to have names, right? Flash needs to know, hey, what this is an event, what type is it? And we're deciding it's called pitcher selected. And super is basically saying, tell our core event class that our name is pitcher selected. Okay, so now that we have this event class defined, and we've also know that how to handle basically when the event happens, what we're going to do, the next thing is we need to, in our component that we want to send the event, we need to wire that up. So that consists of a couple things. First, we need to declare the event. So in the metadata of our component, we need to say, hey, one of the things that this component can do is dispatch an event of this type. And the second is somewhere in our code, when something happens, we want to dispatch that event. Okay, and we already talked about the syntax for dispatching an event. Usually when we're dispatching an event, we're piggybacking on someone else's event, right? Like in this case, we're going to piggyback when someone selects an item in the list. What is that? That's the change event of a list component, right? So usually we dispatch our event based on some other event of a UI component. It doesn't have to be. We could dispatch an event with a timer every 30 seconds or whatever, but most often we're dispatching an event based on another event. So what do those steps look like? Declaring an event, we use this MX metadata tag, and the syntax basically is just to specify the name of the event and the type of event. Pretty simple. Again, we're just kind of defining kind of in the core information about the component that one of the things it can do is produce this event. Yes, question?
Do you override the name of the event, or
the
previous name
did you over, I guess you, so the question I think is when I said here super pitcher selected, what was the name if I didn't call that? And I think it would just be a generic event. No, I'm specifying, this is not creating an event, this is only telling the component this is a type of event that I can produce. So if I spell this wrong, for example, then I can have no idea what event I'm talking about. So this is saying, I as a component can produce an event. What event can I produce? The pitcher selected event. So we haven't created an instance of that event yet, which we'll talk about in a minute. So once we've said this component is allowed to produce this event, the second step is at some point we're going to dispatch that event. So what's the syntax? We've seen it before. We call dispatch event, and dispatch event is supposed to expect an instance of the event object that is associated with the event that we're producing. Right? So we say new pitcher selected event, that's that class we just created before. So we're creating a new instance of it, and that instance is expecting what? A pitcher VO, right? So here we're passing in the pitcher VO. The pitcher VO we're getting from event.target.selected item. So we could have instead of the line above said, you know, my pitcher equals event.target.selected item, and then dispatch event, blah, 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 my pitcher, right? Yes. On this slide?
On the previous slide.
Okay.
You're talking about the event.pitcherSelected event.
Right.
You already stated the name was pitcherSelected by saying super pitcherSelected. What is the point of reproducing it here?
Because again, this is only specifying the name of the event and where it's located. It's not actually instantiating the event. So this is how it goes and finds the event I'm talking about when I reference pitcherSelected event. Because they don't have to be the same.
So the name book is the one specifying the other file.
Because the other file is where I'm actually defining the name of the event, saying this is what I am. And later on we're referencing this is the one I want. So if you're asking why is the name and type both there because they would be there, yeah, I can't imagine a case where they'd be different and you'd want them to. Sorry? Possibly, because I almost imagine you could probably create a single event that even changes its name dynamically or something. So yeah, there might be different ways to do that. But also, by the way, generally, and this is a little bit more on the advanced side, generally we don't use a string to name our events. We use a constant, and that allows the compiler to keep us from misspelling the name or something like that. So if you look at, often you'll see in your components that rather than someone saying super pitcher selected, what we're doing is defining a constant called my component name equal, you know, so a constant variable, my component name equals pitcher selected, and then here we say super, you know, name or whatever that property I defined before. And again, that just allows the compiler to be a little bit, help keep track and make sure we're not misspelling a name, because then I'm referencing the constant property, and if the compiler didn't know what it was, it would throw an error for you. So that's in your code, you'll usually see something like that in some of the examples. I kind of decided to skip that here. So, let's review what's involved in dispatching a custom event. So first is we have to define our custom event, right? Second is that in our main application, we want to handle that event. So we want to now say the pitcher selected component is able to produce this event, and when it does, what do I want to happen? And the third is that in the custom component that we want to produce the event, we need to declare the event with metadata, and we need to dispatch the event based on, you know, whenever the heck we want to dispatch it. Okay, so let's do that. So first is we want to create a new action. Actually, we want to create a new folder first, because it makes sense to put our events all in a single folder called events. Okay, and then in the events, we want to say new ActionScript class, and we want to call this pitcher selected event. Okay. And actually, I'm going to buy us a little bit of time by just copying this out of the solution I have here. So again, we basically just took the core event, and the important things here are that we made sure that we extended the flash .events.event class, that we defined a property that this event is responsible for holding on to and passing on to whoever wants to know about it, and then that gets passed in and set, and we name our component here. Okay, so those are the important things to remember about what we're creating here. Okay, so the next step is let's go to our, so we have our main, I'm in the wrong folder now. I'm going to close these out just to make sure I'm editing the right copies of the files here. Okay, so we're mostly concerned with main.mxml and picture selector. Picture detail, we're not going to have to change, right? Because picture detail is already in good shape. It knows, hey, at some point in time, someone's going to give me a picture object and I'm going to display it. He's in good shape. So it's this guy that we want to change a little bit. So first what we want to do is define our metadata. And the syntax here is just to say event. And the two things we need to define in the metadata are name equals something and type equals something. So the name was what picture selected? And the, I'm gonna, and the type was events.picture events in the events directory, and the name of the file is picture selected event. Okay, so now all we've done is say, okay, this component is capable of producing that event. By the way, if I use add event listener, I don't really need to have the metadata, but one of the nice things adding the metadata does is that now in picture selector, I can say, see that? And see the little lightning bolt there? So now this component knows that it's capable of producing an event called picture selected because I defined that metadata. Okay? So what do I want to do when a picture gets selected? Well, one thing I could do is give this guy an ID called picture detail and say picture detail dot picture equals event dot, and look at this, it knows that the picture detail, FlexBuilder is fantastic, it knows that the picture detail is going to produce something, is going to produce the picture VO. Or it's going to produce a picture property, right? That helps me out a whole lot, keeps me from making a mistake. Okay, so now we can pull out this whole piece here that was reaching into the component. This whole picture equals picture selected dot picture list. So now it doesn't matter. I could once I pull this out, I could change anything internally about the picture selector as long as somehow it produces an event that contains a new picture whenever the picture gets selected through a data grid, through a random selection, whatever. Okay. So the last step here is in my picture selector, I now need to dispatch this event. So now, so far, I've only told the component, hey, this is something that you're capable of producing, but now I actually want to produce it. So how do I want to do this? Like I said before, usually we're going to piggyback on someone else's event, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to piggyback on the list component. So the list component has a change event, okay? And what we want to do is call on, we'll create a function on picture selected. So this is like on click of a button or anything like this, on picture selected, and we'll pass it the event object. Okay? So now that we have on picture selected, we can say private function on picture selected expects an event. And what type is this event? Exactly, it's picture selected event. So I add that, and Flex Builder automatically adds it to my list of imports. Doesn't return anything. And so now I want to call dispatch event. And dispatch event expects what? A new event object, right? So it's expecting an instance of the new event object that contains what? A picture. Perfect. Okay, so we're going to say here, new picture selected event. So that creates a new instance of that class that we created formerly, and it's expecting a picture. Well, how can we get it a picture? Sorry, a picture? Well, we have a reference to the event that got passed from the list component. Event.target is a reference to the list itself, and event.target.selectedItem is a reference to an item, or specifically, a picture. I'm sorry, the question on line 13? Ah, you're right. Good point. That's why this wasn't going to work. So on line 13, I'm saying I'm expecting a pitcher selected event. I'm not. I'm actually expecting an event, a list change event, right? So, which I can just type as event. By the way, I can always kind of type down or you know. I think the list dispatches a list change event or something like that. But I can actually say the event, or I can say one of its ancestors. And the downside of selecting its ancestors is that I won't have access to the properties of that specialized event. I'll just kind of get the dumbed down version unless I recast it inside of the function. So generally, you want to specify the proper event. But here, I know that all I want from the event from the list change is the target, right? So this will be all we need. Okay. So before we try to run this, let's just do a quick recap of what we did. We basically changed, instead of pitcher detail, looking in at pitcher selector and say, hey, what does your list contain? Instead, we rewired things so that the pitcher selector tells the outside world, hey, a new pitcher was selected. And then basically, based on that, we update the pitcher property, which is a public property, a fair game in the, you know, in the API that we've agreed upon. It just changes that property for us. So let's try and run this now. Okay, so first thing we notice when I ran this is that this is empty. Okay, so that's one bug in our application. Okay, but after that, it works just fine. So why is there a bug in our application? Right, so what happens is the data came back from the database, but nothing was selected that first time. Nothing changed, so the change event didn't fire the first time. So it's empty until it receives its first change event. So one way to address that is basically, In the result of my get all call, so when I get data back from the database, one thing I could do is just say pitcher detail, and it would really be better form to put this into its own function, right? In fact, you know what? I'll do that right now. So now instead of having my action script online, I'm going to add another private function on result. A result event. Sorry, oh, yeah. And so now we'll take this line of code out of here, be a little bit neater, and in our result we'll call onResult. And before we get too far, we'll make sure that still works. Still works. Okay, but now what we can do is, in addition, add another line of code here a little bit more neatly, which is, okay, in addition to getting our result, we could do there's a bunch of different ways to approach this right now. The easiest way is just to say pitcher detail dot pitcher equals what? First item of the array. So pitchers sub zero. And that works. Okay? So a couple notes here that I just want to add quickly as far as debugging. The first is I'm using service capture. If anyone's not familiar with service capture, it's really, really excellent for figuring out what's being passed back and forth between Flex and your backend, specifically if you're using AMF or flash remoting. So here you can see, for example, I'm going to clear all here. Sorry? Service capture is a third-party utility. It's $25 or something like that. So basically, I just refresh my application. You can see it made a call to get all. And look at this. I can see that my result was an array. It has 8 items, and each item is of type pitcher.pitcher.vo, and I can even inspect each of the individual properties here. So it's really helpful to make sure that what I think I'm getting back is in fact what I'm getting back. Yes? Okay. So in summary, events are hooks that that allows a developer to execute code based on other code executing. The UI components dispatch events that we can handle, and then we can do the same, and we want to do the same, but to build scalable apps, we want our own components to follow that same model, which is to pass data out or let the world know by something happened by dispatching an event, rather than having someone kind of reach into us and find the data. Okay. So thanks so much. I think we have a couple minutes for questions. Yes, question? Okay. The question is, are key events any better in Flex 2 than Flex 1.5? There's a couple cases that I know things are a little cleaner, and there are some cases where I've had some of the same issues with key events. And like one problem is, for example, a canvas never really has focus. So are those the kind of things you're referring to? Yeah, I think you'll have some improvements in specifying things specifically as in the capture phase, but you might have some of the same problems. But we can talk about that a little bit offline too. Any other questions? Yep.
Could you have also done that by programmatically firing the chain event?
Question, could I have also done that by programmatic? You mean the solution to the last problem? Right, so question was, instead of my last just setting it to the first one, could I have programmatically dispatch the change event? Answer is absolutely. The only question is, how would I have done that? Because I wouldn't want to do that from the main app. I'd want that component to do it. So then I'd have to have a function that says, it needs to happen only after I get my data, because if I do it before, there's no data there to do it. So I could have done that, but I would have needed to create a new method in the detail thing that says, okay, now go click, do your thing. So it was just a little shorter to do what I did, but I thought of the same approach, and so that makes perfect sense. Yeah. So we're about out of time. I want to give the next speaker time to set up, but thanks so much. Any other questions? I'm more than happy to help you here.
Thank you for listening, and we hope we will see you at CF United 2007. This has been a production by TerraTech Programming. For more information, go to www.cfunited.com.